It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. We're at Champions Fried Chicken on Baxter Street, best restaurant in town. If you are looking for fried chicken, tamales, salads, just about anything chicken related or
catfish
related too. What was that steak sandwich you had? The Philly, the cheese melt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you need to come out to Champions. The football season is here. We got practices going on. I know folks are going to be coming in for all the games. You need to come by Champions. We got a guy that came all the way from California to watch the show today. We had some guys who were supposed to be here for our noon show. We moved it back an hour. They came back to watch the show. So you have no reason, no excuse not to come out to Champions. If a guy from California can do it, you can too. So come out to Champions and watch a show every Tuesday at noon, or come in anytime and get your food. Big shout out to Athens Ford. I have a new Ford Explorer.
That's pretty nice.
Yes,
I saw that
is.
Out in the parking lot.
Yeah, that black one there. So we can talk about that a little bit more in the show. Big shout out to Aaron Overhead Doors, our newest sponsor. Huge Bulldog fans, big supporter of the Dog Vent at UGASports.com. Shout out to EuroPie. If you need pizza, swing by them. Academia. Woohoo. Got a little honey blonde going here. What do you got?
I've got the IQ IPA, as always. I'm a hop guy. You know that.
I know that's a good one. Big shout out to Cable East and Robert Wall out in Statham. And, of course, 365 Game Day. If you need your Georgia gear, the season is here. Swing by 365 Game Day. Get your stuff. And, of course, 11 Live News for letting us be on their Facebook page and do their show. If you're listening to the podcast, when you get a chance, when you get back on Facebook, swing by 11 Live News and check out their site.
And make sure to be tuned into 11 Live this weekend. They're carrying all the Corky Kell games,
yeah.
And that's going to be a huge, huge deal. It always gets the season started off right in the state of Georgia.
9 games.
So they start Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Yep.
Up in Rome. Then Friday, they have two games Thursday night. 2 games Friday night at Georgia State, and then 5 games
all
from
day.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We will be providing between-game commentary on the recruiting players that are being recruited. So working with our partners, 11 Live News. And here's the thing. Corky Kell is fantastic. It's a great series, great way to kick off the high school football season. There'll be a lot of Georgia targets, a lot of Georgia commits playing in those games. And shout-out to 11 Live for taking on the sponsorship of that series and putting it on TV, because I mean, you can just sit in your chair and watch all the games at home. That's pretty legit.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So big shout out to 11 Live for doing that. And again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can watch them all. Wednesday, you will be at the Corky Kell luncheon.
That's tomorrow. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I will be there.
You the guest speaker?
not quite. They're never very excited to see me when I show up, but
really,
you know, it's the guys don't like doing interviews this close to the season, but. We will have a ton of stuff. Dominic Blaylock, Jaden Hazelwood, Tresman Marshall, Jalen Perry, just among some of the names that are going to be there.
I've been saying Hazelwood, but I noticed our rivals Mike calling him Hazelwood or something else.
Well, I've always said Hazelwood, and I'm going to
get him straight. I mean,
he's
one of the top players in the country. He's supposed to be a top recruiting guy. You ought to know his name.
I will definitely
confirm. Isn't that right?
Well, Mike. Mike Farrell, God love him. He's the head recruiting guy at our national rival site. He has a small history of mispronouncing names, but then I can't say anything. I can't say Italian ham. So
yeah.
Hey, I messed up on Anderson, so I'm I got that right finally.
Yeah, but no, he's and I keep saying it's Tyson Summers instead of Tyler Simmons.
I just want to make sure though that that's the way you pronounce.
We say it Hazelwood, but most times we just talk to him with Hey Jaden or Hey Number 3.
Oh, my God, look at that guy.
Yeah.
That's normally what
– Hey, guy who just caught it one-handed with an acrobatic flip on the end. Jaden Hazelwood has moved up to number 3 in the new updated Rivals rankings. They came
out. We got two in the top 10, right?
Yep, and then Nolan Smith jumped up to number 10.
Yeah.
So, Georgia's got 2 in the top 10 and I think 5 in the top 100. And a lot of their targets have also moved up. So,
and you're not going to – I mean, this is not the last ranking cycle either. You've still got all the All-Star games and all that coming up, plus everything from this season. So Definitely might not be the last moves we see out
of
those
guys. We guys got a lot of pull. Get our guys up in there really tight. Come on.
Well, here's the, and people get, I don't say they get offended by it, but if the Georgia players aren't ranked high enough, they get mad. And I keep wanting to tell them, it doesn't matter where a guy's ranked. I mean, if you could have Georgia players ranked 1 to 20, the top 20 players in the nation, and when they line up against Austin Peay, they don't get the ball on the 5-yard line.
That's true.
Yeah, and you've beat this drum for a long time, but I keep telling people, the rankings are just our opinion on how good these players are and kind of give you an idea of what to expect. It doesn't give you a first down. It doesn't give you the ball, you know, on the 5. It doesn't give you anything. So I hope that we are accurate, not to have the players ranked highly, but that we're accurately telling you what to expect from these players.
I like that.
We tell you guys a 2-star or 3-star and he comes in and never starts, be glad, because that's what we told you to expect. Yeah.
Only thing I would hope for is that they don't get caught up in all in the family thing where they got to give everybody, spread it out. Hey, if we got the best guys, rank them.
No, and that's the thing. And that's for years, it was a huge frustration for the readers at UGASports.com because, you know, we would see a guy like – I go back to Ben Cleveland and Jacob Eason. They were 1 and 2 in our initial rankings for that class. We put them at number 1 and number 2. And that's because when we saw them as sophomores – Jacob Eason looked like the number 1 player in the nation.
Yes.
Ben Cleveland looked like the number 2 player in the nation.
You had to make the bet on him being the, because there was nobody that looked like that at that
right.
time.
And there's still very few that do. So we put them there, but then after seeing them, we're like, you know, Jacob Eason may not be the best quarterback in the nation. Shea Patterson might be the best quarterback in the nation. And they're like, well, he's a midget. Well, no, he's not a midget. He's just not as tall as Eason. Doesn't have quite the cannon, but the guy can play. And then we kept seeing how Ben Cleveland was stiff. You kind of expected him to grow out of it because we saw him as he was 14 years old. But he was, you know, 6'6", 330 pounds, and looked like an NFL right tackle. Mm-hmm. But we kept seeing how stiff he was, and when we kept dropping him in the rankings. Still very high. It's top 100. Top 100 players in the nation, but we got so much grief for dropping him. And finally, when he signed, I think he was, 67, 75, something like
that.
Yeah.
But still again, top 100
still
guy.
Top 100. That is a guy you expect to play. And then in year two, towards, you know, 3/4 of the way through the season, he got flexible enough, and now he's your starting right guard. So that's what you should have expected from him, and we got it right. So,
okay.
But people get mad. Like you said, there's no question if a – our analysts and rivals do not care where a kid's going, because half the time the kid's going to change next week or in 2 months.
Yeah, that's a bad way to that's a bad way to rank anything.
So they rank everybody based on what, because the way they hold themselves accountable is when they look at the draft. Let's see, 1 to 32. How many guys from our 1 to 32 win the first round? 33 to 65. How many of those guys win the second round? So they're trying to hold themselves accountable to a absolute guess. 3 or 4 years down the road as to where these guys are going to be drafted. So it's tough.
Indeed.
So the rankings are updated.
And it's a thing. I will say it too. One quick shout out for our national guys. It's a thankless job. Everybody hates the guys who rank the kids. The kids hate
the guys
who rank the kids. We hate the guys who rank the kids. The people who read the sites hate it. But it's important. It matters. Yeah. I mean, these things are it's points of pride for programs. You know, coaches can say they don't look at those numbers all they want. But they're sending out graphics. They're sending out all this stuff. I mean, there's something to it. I mean,
they send out congratulations, and they send us text messages. Why isn't my guy ranked higher?
But I'm going to tell you this. If you're not ranked in the top 20 in these recruiting classes in this league, you're going to be selling used cars.
Yeah, when you're talking about the overall class ranking, Georgia versus Alabama versus Clemson, I always point this out to the folks that said that Mark Richt was an underachiever. They would say he has a top 5, top 10, top 15 class every year, and he's not winning championships. And I said, that doesn't matter. And they would look at me like I'd grown a second head. I'm like, you don't understand. He didn't have a top 5 class. He very seldom had a top 5 class. He had a few, but most of his classes were in the top 10 to top 12. But that was still behind Florida, behind Alabama, behind Auburn, behind Clemson, behind FSU, behind Tennessee. He was always be in the top 10 in the nation, but third or fourth in the SEC. And where did he usually finish? Third or fourth in the SEC. It's the correlation between where your recruiting class is and how you do in years going forward makes sense. Alabama has a number one class after number one class after number one class. Where did they wind up? number one. So you're right, Coach. If you were in, if you're not in the top 20, you were going to get destroyed in this league. And I go back to just 2 years ago when Georgia signed 12 top 250 players in the nation, you know, in the Rivals 250, and the rest of the SEC signed 14 combined. That's Georgia has set to play, and we just updated the roster. If you go to UGASports.com and you look for the scholarship distribution, you can see, you know, how many juniors, how many seniors, how many freshmen Georgia has, and how many scholarships are out there. That if you look at those numbers, it's 84 players. That Georgia team is absolutely loaded.
Got some good players, no question about it. Just got to put it all together and make up for some losses of different guys that made significant contributions last year, and hopefully that's what's going to happen. You just never know how a guy's going to do when they get that opportunity. But, you know, realistically, we got to get some people to come to the front at inside backer, make sure that our punter comes along. He, you know, obviously he's having a good fall camp, and then You know, the thing that every team that I ever coached or played with, you always look back on guys that you thought were going to be good that ended up not being quite as good, and you had no idea a guy was going to turn out to be better than he was.
Right.
So there's going to be a few surprises both ways, but I just think overall our caliber, as you mentioned, is to me very, very much up there as far as teams that Georgia's had as far as talent. We just got to mesh and put it all together. And
how do you see this squad? And I know you don't get out to a lot of the practices, and we only get to see a few minutes of them, but you keep up with the recruiting. You know who Georgia has. How do you compare this to the teams you've watched over the last 30 years at Georgia?
Well, you know, overall, it's just the athletes in general around the country are just bigger, stronger, and faster because of weight training, nutrition, everything.
Great point.
But athletically, we certainly pass the eyeball test. And the overriding thing that gets me is just the way our team can run. You know, we don't have a bunch of guys out there that can't move very well, and that includes offense and defensive linemen. So I'm a big proponent of speed and quickness. I think you can make up for a lot of mistakes when you can catch up quickly and do some things. And the caliber of athlete that we are starting to bring around into our secondary is really dramatically improved from when Kirby got here, and the same way with the offensive line. Other positions are, you know, very similar to what we've had in the past, but I just think our athleticism at defensive back is going to start to surface, and we've already seen the size and girth of the linemen, the way they've taken over. But I did want to make one comment before I got going here today. The whole show we started talking about some other things. But, you know, just the everybody talks about facilities and everything, but I had a chance to go in the new end zone facility the other day. Coach Cavan was nice enough to take me and a couple guys around and show us everything. But
yeah, because no one's really seen that except, I think, the recruits.
Well, I don't know if maybe some of the supporters. I mean, it doesn't matter. But the whole point is just very well constructed as far as if I'm a parent or I'm a recruit or I'm a coach coming in to look at a school, it's got that wow factor to first rattle out of the box when you walk in there. And then everything's set up from a symbolism standpoint where you can see the – kid, you know, they've got a place there where you walk, can stand out there and watch the dog walk, which you don't take that for granted. I mean, kids see these kids walking in there and started visualizing maybe being a dog and walking in, and all those fans, you know, you're their guy, you know, and those little kids looking up to you.
Let me interrupt you there real quick, because I don't want you to lose your train of thought, but in the past we've watched the Georgia recruits try to watch the dog walk from the Tate Center deck?
Yeah, sure.
So they're at like the third or fourth floor of the Tate Center deck trying to watch it, and the crux of the dog walk is further down. So they can't really see it that well. So now you're saying that in the – you know, Georgia just spent $60 million renovating the west end zone, and they put in the new locker rooms, which look great, and the new recruiting facility. They have an area where they're kind of – where they're set to watch the dog walk.
It's just like a mezzanine right there.
Oh, that's
perfect.
You
walk in and you register, and then they got the big screens up there with have several different things you can look at, championship teams, you know, university, athletic facility. You just hit a little button there and it starts showing.
Like an interactive screen.
It's like eight different things on it.
That's cool.
then around the top of this, this is a rotunda where you check in. There's a thing, it looks like CNN, you know, like the crawl that you'll see up there that's got the, you know, news of the day or the, or like a, if you go into the Wall Street and you see all the ticker going around.
So they got electronic ticker.
It's a massive ticker there, but on there shows our pro players, and instead of their symbol for what stock they are, it has how much money they make.
Oh my God!
So you mean to get like Todd Gurley $60 million?
Right. So
wow!
To me, and that's just going around. But I mean, you walk in there and you see that, you're thinking, God, man, that's what I want. I got a good shot here, making some money. And then you, after you go in through there, they got a just an unbelievably big room with a lot of tables, and then you can look out and see the stadium to the right there. And, you know, walk out there on a mezzanine, too, and get to fill that part of the stadium.
Wow.
And then – but all these tables are just well placed where you can hold up to 500 or 600 kids and their families. I mean, 500 people total. But
yeah.
And then towards the end over there, you know, we used to have a deal when I was recruiting, wherever I was, you know, you wanted to get some of these better recruits and in there and – not necessarily hot box them, but get a chance to see them by themselves where everybody else isn't talking to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean, if you're in a room with that seats 500 people, right, you can't sit down with Jaden Hazelwood and talk to them.
But they have a private area there for Coach Smart that has a very, you know, it's a very warm, cozy type area. It's pretty big, but, you know, got sofas and a couple big screens in there and everything, just sitting in there. And you can just visualize sitting down with the head
ball.
The head coach there just going and over what everything. And, you know, to me, if I'm a prospect there coming in and all of a sudden Coach Smart brings me back there and starts talking to me with all those other guys, that's got to get my attention. They got to work on it. But here's the problem that you used to have. You used to be up at Buttsmere waiting for a guy to come, and he couldn't get there. And he finally – you got to go down with the team for warm-ups and everything. Now – you can be, you know, the head coach usually doesn't go out for warm. You can just sit there and wait for him to get there at the last minute and still take care of your team, and you're right there in one spot.
I was going to mention that because we've seen, you know, Luke and guys like that.
Sure,
they're having to wait at the Buttsmere building for kids that are stuck in traffic because they come up too close to game time. And, you know, they got a five-star kid they're waiting on. Then they're trying to bus him down to the stadium.
Yeah, and you're divvying up resources.
Right.
I mean, you guys are split. You know, rather than being able to have everybody focused on all these guys at one spot, you've got people all over the place. It just feels disjointed.
It is.
Yeah, I know. Just like you have people griping and all. But I remember I was waiting on Terrence Edwards one time. And, you know, we had that situation where we had Terrence and John Stinchcomb and Boss Bailey, all brothers of guys that we had here we had to get, hopefully. And so I said, look, I'm not coming down to warm-ups till he gets here. I said, I'm just going to have a – so anyhow, I had the police escort driving down through really fast down through Lumpkin and some people raising Cain about it. But, hey, I had to get there to the game eventually, but I waited. But you never have to worry about that anymore. I'm just throwing that out. This is the vividness of to me about – man, this is so much better than it used to be, but it's also overwhelming. And then the locker room itself is, you know, bells and whistles and great morale and everything. Obviously, the kids aren't going to be there for 7 games a year, but it's very, very special as far as the spacing. And then you got tremendous equipment room there, and also the training room that has everything right there that you can that you need to take care of a kid during the, you know, if something happens at halftime, they got some of these other things. But
nice.
It's just extremely well put together. My congratulations to Kirby and Greg McGarity, everybody who's involved with it, and all the fans that helped donate for it.
Shout out to Josh Brooks, who kind of spearheaded that whole thing too.
And then I was getting ready to say, and then, you know, some unsung people like Josh Brooks and Kevin and those guys that, you know, behind the scenes doing all those things. But, you know, the thing that you can do is you can just have that guy that's going to help you usher those kids in there, in and out. Kirby's going to see as many as he can, but it's going to be in a very relaxed atmosphere where you can really kind of spill your guts out instead of – I'm talking about the recruit – instead of being out there worried about somebody else hearing y'all, you're talking directly to Coach Smart right there.
Yeah, I also like the fact that we've seen Kirby do this. They'll have 150, 200 kids on the sideline, but then they take one guy out at a time or a couple guys out, And they meet with Kirby on the 50-yard line while he's watching the specialist warm up, you know, and they talk, and he glad hands him a little bit. That's pretty smooth. And we do interviews with these kids, Rivals.com, which you can sign up for right now and get $99 worth of free gear at the UGA Rival store.
Not bad.
That was smooth. And they talk to us after the game, and, you know, we're like, what did you think of your visit? And they'll say some things they like, but they have always mentioned – I like the fact that before Georgia played Tennessee, Coach Smart pulled me aside and talked to me about how he needed me that day. You know, we saw that especially with some of the offensive linemen 2 years ago, that, you know, Kirby saying, hey, great. I need you guys. But taking that time right before a game and then, you know, right afterwards, but saying, man, I really wish Brenton Cox, we had, because he was one of the guys, we wish we had you today. We could use you if you were suiting up. And they know that the coach is there to coach his game and to work his players. But taking the time to say, hey, Adam Anderson, if you were suiting up today, you know, you'd probably be second on our depth chart as it stands right now. And Adam's kind of like, wow, you know, right. I know you're busy, coach, but thanks for taking the time. And so now they've got this room where the you know, grandma can come in. Let's go back to the way it was before. The players get to the stadium. They have to walk, you know, down through the side, through the gate where they register. It's hot. They have to walk down sideline, get to the bleachers that are sitting in the end zone, very low elevation. They can't see because I can't stand.
And you're getting smoked in that in that end.
It is
end zone.
Hot, as hot as nine hells. You're trying to look over the photographers, over the hedges to watch a game from the end zone. That's where you're looking right into the sun.
Imagine watching a game behind Roddy Nabulsi. Come on.
You could see the plays to the edges, and that's why, you know, Justin Fields is behind me going, go wide, because he can't see anything.
But that's so, history, though. That's history.
But
though.
See, and then they had this, like, area where they would go up and eat, and, you know, you had to, they had to wind up through the thing. It was just a nightmare trying to get these kids in and out. But now you got to let them park at the Tate Center deck if you can, you know, walk, get them over there to the this west end zone. They can walk through the locker room. You didn't want recruits walking through the Georgia locker room previously.
No.
Right. You didn't want media. You didn't want anybody going through the locker room.
You didn't mind them doing it because you want them to be around the players. I mean,
yeah, but you didn't want them to. It wasn't impressive.
Right. But the other thing they do is they have buses that go – they park out at the soccer fields, and they bus them over too, which I think is convenient if you can't get into that. Sometimes they'll get some Tate Center parking passes for some guys and all, but – all in all, it was just extremely impressive from my standpoint about how everything's directed toward your visit to make you understand what it's like to be a Georgia player and what's ahead of you. The tradition right off the bat, you're watching Herschel Walker on the screen or David Pollock or David Green or Shockley, whoever it might be, and then just going right on in there. I mean, you just kind of – the visualization's there where it's everything's just one thing after another and very well laid out.
Now, I have a question for both of you kind of in this same vein, but it's something that we get a lot on Rivals or on UGASports.com. What's next? What's the next thing? You've got the indoor facility now. You've got renovations to the stadium and the recruiting area. Where does Georgia go from here? What's the next upgrade? Because I don't see Kirby Smart saying, yeah, that's good.
No, I think without question, we've got to do something with the get more room with the weight room and build some kind of facility that has a year-round training table that we can control, you know, that's not involved with another part of the school. You know, the one they have now, they
by
go
by training
over,
table, you mean where they go eat.
Right. Yeah. That right now they go over to – and they do a good job over there at the – student center is good. It's a good deal, but you like to have it right there. So, like we said, I've heard that they're talking about putting another building over there behind where the Rankin Smith educational thing is there, where they tutor the kids.
Yeah.
And all. You know, between there and that parking deck, there's some really good area there they could put a building. And I know Piedmont Hospital is working with them and along those lines as far as maybe bringing in some more high-tech, you know, medical stuff over there and you know, putting it all together. So I'm that's just out there. There's a lot of rumors. I don't know. But I do know that we do need that to get us over the hump. For our whole team can't go in and lift at once.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said about you're not going to do that all the time because it's specialized and individual.
Sure.
But it's also good to bring them all in there and hoop and holler and all and everybody watch somebody and see it. You know, I mean, it's just a great – unity type thing. So, but we can use some more room for offices. I mean, we've got now you got 10 full-time coaches, and you got some other people, you know, in the analyst roles and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we got kicked out of an office.
A media room just shut down, and now it's for video operation.
Well, that's good. Hey, well, that's good. Too bad for y'all, but good for us. Good for Georgia. And,
but no, to your point, we could say firsthand we know how much the staff's growing because we lost a workroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they and it wasn't a big room, and they subdivided it into about six spots. So you got six little kiosks in there. So it's not, again.
That's for video.
For video. They're on top of each other in there. And you see the videos Georgia's putting out every day after practice. Those
well, they
are
got
great.
Video. But the other thing that they have, and I think Marshall Malchow is such a tremendous young coach, a recruit. He's the head of a player personnel. So, you know, he really looks at kind of like, you know, analyzing the players and all that. But he's got a really good staff. I mean, I know he has like three full-time people, but the thing that Kirby's done is bring in these interns, these kids on campus where they learn how to break down film and look at them and pick out prospects and all. You know, they're certainly students, but they work as an intern looking at some tape of guys down the road, you know, and it's kind of busy work, but it certainly lessens the load on everybody. Sure. But I think, again, that's a good chance for
– We need to get you
somebody.
And Paul over there for that.
Yeah, well, you guys could do – you could fit in there. I mean, they're looking at 2020 and 2021. I mean, you got to be looking in the future.
I'm not sure we're invited. They don't like us hanging around any more than necessary.
Well, you know, I think there's a real fine line between
– I'll tell you something
being
else.
– being wanted and being – you know, worried about what you're telling everybody.
Yeah. Speaking of, you need to check out the scrimmage 3-2-1, the Georgia 3-2-1 report we put out recently. Had some scrimmage notes in it, some interesting tidbits in there. One of the things we're talking about Kirby Smart as a general manager. That's definitely worth checking out.
I really thought that was a really well done idea on your part. I thought that Kirby Smart as general manager, that's not something you typically associate, I guess, with the role, but it shows you how much college football's changed, I think, and that's what the head coach has become. I mean, he's the CEO of the company.
And you're going to see that from now on so many with these graduate transfers because they're just looking to go and finish up their career and play for a winning program or play for a place that's going to help them get to the pros. And you got to be constantly on top of that. Look at Jay Hayes. He was going to Oklahoma, and we were able to turn him around because of a really good visit on campus here. Our own players turned him around. And so I think as you Jake told me what you said. I don't read that stuff, but it was I probably could read it. But the point is that he was able to secure Robertson and Hayes just like he did the guys in the past that really add to your team, I mean, significantly.
Yeah, where's Georgia without Maurice Smith that first year Kirby's here? I mean, the guy –
even Tyler Catalina.
The guy comes in and is voted a team captain.
Yeah.
How do you get voted a team captain in 1 year? That's pretty impressive. So, yeah, Tyler Catalina, who's still playing in the NFL, by the way, for all his haters. You know, he's out there. He's still playing. So, shout out to Tyler.
Nice-a-lack.
You know, Cam the punter, who completely changed the game, the season for Georgia last year. Georgia goes from 97th in the nation to number two in the nation.
He'll never get the credit he deserves.
I like the punter we got in there, too, now as a you know, in case, you know, it's kind of a backup deal, you know, the kid from Murray State. So, he's solid.
Speaking of punters, one of the little tidbits we had in our 3-2-1 report was that Jake Combarda punched one 70 yards.
Kid can boom it, dude.
And think about this. In the press conference afterwards, Kirby was saying, you know, our punting's coming along. And that's all he's going to say about it because Kirby's not going to give away anything. But he said he out-punted his coverage. From my standpoint, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, you can rein. Yeah.
You can always come back, but it's a little harder to say, hey, I need to add 10, 15 yards to this. You can always say, hey, Jake, kick this next one about 90%. Take about 10% off of it. Instead of, hey, we need another 10 more yards, you know.
Well, and the thing about him is if you hear that he's kicking him 70 yards, he's out punting coverage, we saw at that open practice him put some incredible hang on it. So it looks like he's going to be able to do a little bit of whatever you need in terms of the punting game.
Yeah. Sure, I mean, I still worry about a freshman back there.
Sure, of course.
You know,
of course.
You're terrified. Because I'm scared of when those guys come and running through there that he hurries a punt and shanks it.
He might shank one. I mean, you know, Tiger misses some putts. I mean, that's
yeah,
part
I'm just
of
saying,
the deal.
But again, hey, and to me, when I see a senior, and a senior can do it too, but I just, when you have those gunners on the side coming in and they're just quick as lightning, you know, there's some kids at Auburn who can fly. Yeah. South Carolina's got some speed demons, you know. And if he all of a sudden he sees that coming in out of the corner of his eye and he starts to rush it, you know, again, adjusting to the speed of the game, even for a punter.
That's good. You know, that prophet of doom here, man. Yeah. Worry about
I'm from the Larry Munson School of Pessimism. I tell you this, folks. I'll find something to worry about because that's my nature. You were talking about how
– I don't really worry about freshman kickers near as much as I do freshmen at other positions because that's what they do all the time,
that's
you
true.
Know, and they're used to that pressure. But it's going to be different. No, I'm not trying to be argumentative.
No, it's
but,
correct.
There's a reason this guy was picked. Yep. He was picked. They could have taken a lot of guys around the country, and he's got a dang thunderfoot. I mean, he's got a thunderfoot.
That's a good point. And, you know, Kirby,
and
when he came in,
that's one thing
said
my coach always asked me when I didn't really kick a ball really good. He said, did you hit that with your foot or your ankle or your knee?
Well, you were off playing tennis anyway, so.
I punted. And, I mean, I tell you what, I was a lot more nervous punting, though, than I was playing quarterback because – you know, it's just you know, you just got one shot at it there. You know, you don't get a feel for the game. But when I was playing all the time, it was a lot easier to punt because you just went back there. But
Would you? I want to ask you just because I got to know Jake Camarda a little bit through his recruitment, and obviously Rodrigo Blankenship has shown himself to be quite an interesting person. I mean, how do those guys rank in terms of? I mean, they seem like some pretty mental, pretty interesting characters. Those
specialists.
I
haven't had a chance to be around Jake any, but certainly Rod. Just the way the whole thing opened up for him last year, from being not on scholarship to his father's situation to the whole deal. I just thought he really symbolized what a guy wanted to play for Georgia meant.
Yeah,
and he hung with Coach Smart and felt like that he was going to get his shot, and he earned it. And, he kicked all year like the Russians are in St. Louis, man. I mean, he knew that he had to do it, and he did it.
Yeah, let me look at the Rose Bowl game. You were talking about how everything in that new end zone is designed for a smooth experience. I want to tell you guys about a quick experience I had last Tuesday. I swung out to Athens Ford, our big vendor there. I went out and checked out their F-150s. I checked out the Ford Explorers, the Ford Escapes. And I was all set to buy a 2018 Ford Explorer, fantastic vehicle. And my wife said, well, what do they have used? You know, what do they have pre-owned? And I'm like, I'm getting a new one. Don't worry about it. And Justin out there said, hang on a second. What are you looking for? And I told him. And he went and found me a 2016 Ford Explorer, low mileage, with the limited package, their top-of-the-line package.
Oh, nice.
With the cooling seats in it, you know, and the DVD players and all the headrest.
That's important because you were riding in a truck that the air conditioner didn't always work. So to have cool seats.
It worked for 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, not going uphill, though.
This is true. And he can say it because he rode in the back of that truck with us from Jacksonville. And then it started raining. We had to put all our gear back in there. So he's
cooling
holding like
seats.
Eight pieces of luggage. Cooling seats, Coach. And then, of course, they move back and forth, and it has – giant 8-inch screen in it. I'm just saying, that's on the 2016. Go check out the 2018 Ford Explorers. And here's the thing. I had complete confidence in buying it because it has the lifetime powertrain warranty on it. It's done. It still had some factory warranty, but Athens Ford is the only place where you can get a lifetime powertrain warranty on a pre-owned vehicle, up to 80,000 miles. So I'm telling folks, look, go out there. Justin took care of me. I didn't go in and go, hey, I'm the guy that does your podcast. Give me a deal. I came in just like any Joe Blow off the street, and it was a fantastic experience. I even did my financing through them. I have other options, but speaking of the finance, and I got a ridiculously low rate, they have 0% financing right now on the Ford Explorer, Ford Escape. That's even the Ford F-150.
Yeah.
So you're looking at either 5 years or 6 years of 0% financing for qualified buyers. So go to athensford.com, check out the deals I have on those 2018s. And if you're like me, because I listen to too much Clark Howard, you know, I'm buying a new one in the depreciation. I found a certified pre-owned, 170 checks on this thing to make sure everything's just right. It looks brand new, it smells brand new, it drives beautifully. I drove it all over the place last Wednesday. We'll be driving it for all the Cork and Kell games. I needed it for the season because we got to drive to New Orleans. We're going to drive up to Kentucky. We have other games to go to. We'll fly to Missouri, but
That wheels up thing didn't come through for you?
Not yet. Working on those guys. Hey, Delta, why don't we get a little deal going here?
I think they should put you guys up.
Delta should fly us up there. But the point being, the from front to back, top to bottom, the experience I had out there as a customer was fantastic.
And I like to point out that we use these businesses that we promote. We don't take on businesses that we ourselves don't support.
And I've turned down a few people that say, hey, I'd like to advertise on your show. And I'm like, yeah. And it's not a mean thing. I'm just like, well, we only have so many spots.
Sure.
And these are the people that we trust and follow. Like Academia. I'm going to tell you the best about Academia. I'm having their Honey Blonde Ale.
I was having the IQ.
Dude.
IPA.
Man. Somebody's not going to make it to the end of the show. But Academia, I tell them each week, tell me what you guys have going on this week so that you can so that we can advertise and let people know what's, you know, because they do tap takeovers and stuff like that. And I got to tell you what they told me for this week. It just kind of cracked me up. She said, we love supporting UGA Sports, and we love that you're doing it alongside two of their supporters, Your Pie and Champies. So they said, look, don't even talk about us. Talk about the fact that if you go out to Champies or you go out to Your Pie, and if you want to just go on Twitter or Instagram and post from those locations and use the hashtag ABC in the Wild or Academia BC or ABC Night Owls, that's all they want. That's all they wanted for their advertisement this week was a shout out to Champies, which, you know, they have the beer here on draft, and Your Pie. And again, Your Pie, the owner out there, you know, well, the co-founders of it and the owners of it, these are Georgia graduates, you know. Drew French and Natalie and their kids. I mean, these are huge Georgia people who do wonders for their community. And I'm actually in a polo shirt, and I think I outdressed Drew because, I mean, this guy, he's out there working. I mean, this guy is tearing it up. And he's got an office on Millage. If you want a franchise, there's 58 of them so far, and they're going to open a few more. Swing by Your Pie. So point being, to what you're saying, we do have some sponsors of this show who are just great people. You know, we've turned down some who, it's not that they weren't great, it's just they didn't quite fit with the mold. And everyone is a big Georgia supporter. The guy at Cable East, who sponsors our show, Robert Wall out in Statham, you can't even buy anything from him. He does like government contracts for putting fiber optics in the ground. So you see them, they go alongside.
Don't call Roddy if you need that service stuff.
they'll do like miles and miles of stuff beside the highway, you know, underground, and they don't dig up the whole thing. They actually have a machine that will bore down and across and come out the other side, and they just run their cords through it without destroying the side of the road, you know, or go underneath the road. So again, he's sponsoring our show, and he gets nothing out of it. He's just a huge Georgia fan. So shout out to all of our sponsors, and of course 365 Game Day and Love Live. But again, go out to Athens Ford. You're going to have a wonderful time out there looking at either brand new or a pre-owned vehicle, the certified pre-owned, and they're going to take care of you either in the financing or the lifetime powertrain warranty. And, you're going to like the leather seats, man.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
You have to ride in the back, though.
Let's hop in on some questions. We got several that have rolled in. Jason Howell wants to know, who do you guys predict is going to be a breakout freshman this year? After, I guess, what are we, almost two weeks into practice at this point?
I think this is practice 9 today.
Yeah.
No, not 9 was yesterday because it was closed. So 10 today.
It may even be 11. I don't know.
I think from that standpoint, a little bit early because the next two Saturdays are going to be so huge for Georgia because you now have had a chance to get your feet on the ground. You've had some really good conditioning, some tackling, blocking, full speed, 11-on-11, and now you can really analyze how much some of these really stallion freshmen can make an imprint, and there's no question that there's a lot of them that you could look at. Based on not only who they are, but who they're competing against. So I wouldn't say one person's a breakout guy at this point, and I don't have enough working knowledge of the practices to tell you, but I do feel like there's going to be some freshmen that get their names in the paper, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if I were to identify maybe a group that I think it will come out of, I think it'll be out of the linebacking core. I think a guy like Quay Walker, Channing Tindall, Adam Anderson, Brenton Cox, Aziz, if he comes on later in the season, I think that those are, I mean, Not that those are hard picks necessarily, but those guys have all the looks. They look like they've been here a long time. I think it's going to come out of the
right. James Cook.
And that's an area you need to. I mean, you got that situation.
Yeah, you're replacing both starters on the outside linebacker.
You got Campbell and Smith back there in the secondary along with Reese that all three can make a big quick jump to.
And you also got to replace Roquan, so Channing Tindall or Quay Walker could be that guy. But I'm going to tell you not to forget – I mean, Zamir White, you know, we were hearing that he was healthy. Then the first thing Kirby Smart comes out and says in his opening press conference is Zamir White is full go. We've seen him just taking some cuts and things. But if he's healthy, that's big because, again, there are – coaches in this country that called him a generational back.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
They weren't again, wrong either.
Yeah. And keep an eye on James Cook. Now, we talk about Justin Fields, but again, if he's a breakout, then, you know, great. But it's not a position that you – Jake Fromm is – if Jake Fromm's, you know, getting 80, 90% of your snaps, you're in a good position. But someone has to spell DeAndre Swift. And keep an eye on James Cook. Zamir White, as you know, freshman. Now, that's not to say take anything away from Elijah Holyfield, who had a great run in practice. You know, Brian Herrien, who is really yoked up. But if you're looking for freshmen that might have a breakout with, you know, the propensity to run the ball that sure. Georgia has, I could see Zamir White or James Cook. And we're not talking about James Cook, and you should be. You really should
I think,
be.
I think we've had a little bit more Cook than maybe we thought, not to argue with you, but, you know, he made such a big – imprint on that open practice because everybody saw the jets that he had, you know, and the way he can really move. But the thing that I can foresee for Zeus or Zamir White is that down the road, as he gets shows that his knee is capable, I could see that brace coming off sometime. You know, I don't know when, and I'm not a doctor, but I just feel like all the things he did this summer without it shows that he's capable, but they're being very protective of him right now.
Absolutely.
Because he hadn't had any contact. But maybe he goes all year with the brace. I don't know. But
I want to ask you this,
if he
Coach.
Takes the brace off, it's going to be like taking the governor off a big bus and saying that bus can't go but 65, and now all of a sudden that sucker going around 85 around the garage. So you take that brace off him, make governor's off, baby.
This is I don't want you to throw any coaches under the bus, you know, in the past or guys you went against, but if you – know that a premier back, a premier quarterback, a premier wide receiver may be favoring a knee, favoring a shoulder, favoring an elbow. Do other teams target that?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think they target it, but they, you know, from being a dirty team, but you certainly want to be physical with the guy and, you know, make sure that you do everything you can to exploit if he does have a weakness as far as attacking, not necessarily his body, but his lack of ability to do things, you know, because you might not be near as worried about a guy going deep on you if he's a receiver, he's got a bummed up ankle or, you know, whatever it might be. But you certainly read the and understand that there's injuries involved and you attack that as far as your game plan and your coverage. And that's why you see when a guy goes out of the game, a lot of times the first play, you go right at somebody, see what they can do, you know, whether it's a DB or whatever it might be.
We got a lot of people checking in.
Just don't forget today we got to do a little football talk, too, so we'll do that.
Okay. Yeah, we got a lot of people checking in. We got Donald from Jessup. We've got people shouting out Arizona.
Arizona.
Arizona. We got an Arizona in there.
Build a wall out there, man.
A lot of people asking about DJ Daniel on Thursday. He'll be committing on Thursday at Georgia Military College, 2 p.m.
Let's go, DJ.
We will be there. We'll be on the scene for it. You can pretty much bet that you know, it's going to be watched heavily by all three fan bases involved, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Georgia, the three in contention here.
He doesn't play basketball, though.
I don't think so. No,
Kentucky.
No,
Coach Cal gonna be there.
A lot of people wondering. Do we feel like Georgia's going to be the spot? Yes, I do. We felt like that for some time.
Didn't you tell me that it's something to do with the connotation of that day is his mother's birthday or
something? Yeah, it's his mother's birthday on Thursday. And so and he had mentioned he told our Chris Lambert that he kind of wanted to wait until after, summer school had wrapped up. He wanted to wait till before the season got going. But this gives him a chance to kind of put the summer classes behind him, begin focusing on the upcoming season.
Flat
get his decision
stud,
out the way. The kid can run. The kid can
big.
Run.
Well,
he's
speaking
a big
of,
baker, right?
if you really want a good idea as to what Jake thinks about the guy, you need to read today's Four Downs Territory. It's an opinion column. We just started it today at UGASports.com, a brand new feature. It's better than the 3-2-1s I write. You need to check it out. But it's Jake has good insights and good opinions, and he is our recruiting guru at UGASports.com, and so he's always kind of giving you the black and white. Here's a quote. Here's what the kid's saying. Here's what's going to happen. We don't often let him off the chain to give his opinions and stuff. He comes on and does the show. But I like this feature. I like this column. It's basically his thoughts on four different topics, be they team or recruiting. You should check it out at UGASports.com. And right now, I think there's only about a couple hundred of these certificates left. If you're not a member of UGASports.com, you can go ahead right now and sign up for a year, $99.95, and you will get a $99 gift code to the Rivals Georgia store, where you can buy hats, T-shirts,
thongs,
boots, grill covers, salt and pepper shakers, anything you want
Are
with
you
a
serious?
Georgia logo.
I am serious.
Yeah. So you can get they have some killer polos, coaches polos, jackets, and stuff like that. So basically, you're going to get a new hat anyway. You're going to get a shirt or something like that, or an SEC champion license plate, stuff like that. So you're going to get that stuff anyway. Why not get a 95-cent subscription to UGA Sports for a year? So
let's get some rapid fire questions.
Yep. All right, I got one for you, Coach. I'm interested to see how you'll handle this because you're not a guy who loves projections, but I'm going to throw this one at you anyway. Bradford Williams says, Coach, do you think Georgia will go undefeated in the regular season?
Got a good chance. I don't want to put the whammy on them, but certainly the record speaks for itself as far as how we dominated last year. We got a lot of players that played. We got two of our first three conference games are on the road, but I like our shot of right now, just looking at everybody we play. I think we're very comparable, and more than likely, based on what I've read, we're going to be favored in every game. Just a question of But there's always the fact that you always, when you're an underdog, you say, I don't know if we can beat this team, but they could lose to us. And that's what happens a lot of times. You lose games. It happens to me many times as a coach or a player where you just don't execute like you need to. But I think we're very capable of running the table, no question.
I agree with you. I think that the important thing to remember, at least for me, is that, like you said, it looks like Georgia's going to be favored in every game. Vegas didn't get to be Vegas by making bad bets. So, let's see. We got more people checking in. Valdosta to Alan Verbonichik, Jarvis Hanna, he's here in Athens. Lloyd Dixon in Blackshear. Mike Hall in Fortson, Georgia. Shout out to all of those folks for tuning in. And shout out to everybody who came out here to watch us today. We got Ab Harding says, Clay Webb or Harry Miller, who would you take?
Webb.
Yeah, I lean that way as well. I think Clay Webb, I'll give you some background on both guys. Harry Miller, four-star Ohio State commit out of Buford High School, one of the top offensive tackles in the nation. But then you got Clay Webb out of Oxford, Alabama, right across the border here from Georgia. A guy, five stars, has been since the thing opened. He's going to be the number one center until this thing shuts down. There's really nobody who's close that I'm even aware of in terms of the center position this year. I definitely go with Webb as well. I think that he is
for the reason of position he plays,
exactly.
Because of the existing talent that we have, what our needs
exactly.
are. You lose the center this year. Both these guys that we've been looking at that are guards there are doing a good job, Hill and Salyer, but Erickson's going to be a good player too, who recruited as a pure center. But, hard to get a guy that is athletically inclined at center of what I've seen on Webb on tape.
He would be a great replacement because he'd be Ben Jones. He would be Ben. If you remember Ben Jones, wasn't he out of Alabama too?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right.
So Yeah, if you can get Ben Jones again, you take him. If you can get David Andrews again, you take him. So Clay Webb would be that guy. And that's nothing against Harry Miller. I love Buford. I go over there to their games all the time. I think Harry's a great guy. I think right now he's very solid to Ohio State. So, and to answer the question.
The thing about Ohio State, nothing's going on out there to make him change his mind.
No. No, but, I mean, we spoke to some people at Buford.
Stable situation up there. I mean.
But even if it weren't, I don't see Georgia's chances with him increasing twofold or something like that, whereas you do have a chance to bring in the best center I've seen in maybe 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other point that I would make about our recruiting with the numbers as they are now, we're in a position to really cherry-pick that last lineman. Because I don't think we might take two if you had a chance to get Darnell Wright or Nestor and these guys on top of them. But, you know, you take one guy there and then add where the other positions might be. But we're in a very good position there as far as we've met our needs in a lot of positions. Now, where are we going to get these last five or six players?
And Alan Verbonichik says, what about Cade Mays' little brother, Cooper? Definitely a guy who is going to be in play, I think, but he's a 2020 guy.
Yeah.
So,
and he's got some potential. He's just going to need to get bigger. But I saw him in camp, and, you know, certainly that's a guy you're going to look at down the road.
Good question here from Brian Murphy. He says, with so many good wideouts, obviously we haven't even really touched on the fact that Demetrius Robertson officially cleared last Friday evening. He says, with so many good wideouts, do you expect Georgia to focus more on the passing game, or do you think they'll try to keep it close to the 50-50 split?
Coach?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a rhetorical question from his standpoint and mine. You base it on field position, what your defensive capabilities are, what your kicking game is, the fact can you hammer and tong with the backs like we did with the backs we had last year. But we certainly have the capabilities of quick strike here, and we haven't even had a chance to see Terry out there, who I think is an outstanding player, Terry Godwin. So you had Godwin out there with Ripley and Mecole and Robertson and Holloman. And, you know, Stanley's had a pretty good fall camp from what I understand. So has Simmons. So we got some good competition. And I think the fact – and this is something I would bring into the fold here. You know, we really had a good staff last year, and you always worry when you lose coaches. But when you do lose a coach, you bring in somebody new that maybe has a couple of ideas or something, a different way to skin a cat, or, you know, everybody has a new lease on life because that guy doesn't have any built-in feelings about what you can and cannot do. So some of these guys have maybe surfaced that maybe wouldn't have under previous coach, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah.
But I'm really impressed with both of these guys, Lanning and Hankton, as far as their knowledge of the game, the way they really do a good job of teaching the game to their position and blending in with the staff, and that's what Kirby needs when you lose coaches like he lost. But I think Hankton has really worked well, knowing that Coley and Chaney had worked with these guys, but he's brought in some things that, to me, when a guy's talking to you, he's played in the league like he has, and he says, well, you can do this, you can do that. But he's a very astute on-the-field coach that I think's really helped us, and so has Lanning, because he had to replace a really good guy in Shearer, who's now a coordinator. But just shout out to those guys. I think from my standpoint, when I was coaching, when I go watch spring practice and watch other people, or when I was doing TV and radio, I would watch these guys and see how they teach, because you got to understand, you put yourself in the position of the player. What's he learning? What's he getting out of your day-to-day work with you? And I think both these guys are really good, and join in with some of these guys we got right now. They're just excellent teachers.
Well, and I wrote about both Dan Lanning and Cortez Hankton in that four down territory today. How exciting do you think it is for those two guys to come from a program like Hankton was? Vanderbilt, obviously very well-respected, but Patrick Garbin and I kind of looked it up. Last time they had a real stud in the wide receiver room was Jordan Matthews, and that's been almost 5 years ago. Dan Lanning comes from Memphis. Suddenly he's working with Brenton Cox and all those guys.
Hey, Dan, I don't know what kind of players we're going to have this year, but we do have two five-star defensive ends, Anderson and Cox.
That was easy. Sales pitch and, for Kirby, you know, Smart.
but it wasn't, you know, that's, to me, though, you know, sometimes you hire guys that don't have quite the limelight background, but you know about them and you know that they're going to be part of your deal. You know what I mean? You don't necessarily have to. And a lot of coaching sometimes is just being in the right place at the right time and getting the opportunity. There's a lot of good Dan Lannings and Cortez Hanktons out there that just aren't having the chance to coach at this level. But once you get here, then that puts you on the fast lane to really move
up.
Del McGee. Obviously, what he did at Georgia Southern, and now he's done just a tremendous job here. But we're not on just this show here to just promote everything. So
well, no, we need
but,
your.
But I do feel like,
breakdown.
But I do
week.
Feel like though that part though is very good from my standpoint. I try to add to this program from a technical standpoint that these coaches are really good teachers,
yeah.
And we got some good behind the scenes guys like Tyson Summers and Jay Johnson who do a really good job of working these guys. They can't do much on the field with them, but they really do a good job in the classroom with them, which to me, if you're confused when you go out there on the field, you're going to have a hard time. But if you know what you're doing, and I know guys like Mark Webb and, Campbell and all that, it's good to have a guy like Tyson Summers helping him out a little bit on the side along with a premier coach like we got in Mel Tucker and then Kirby, you know, would be all conference defensive back coach wherever he went. But well, so what are we going to do?
Well, last week you spoke about the RPOs, and I thought that was fascinating. We got a lot of good feedback for you explaining it.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. I didn't know all that stuff. I didn't realize what the linemen were doing in some of those
right.
RPOs. What do you want to talk about this
yeah,
week?
Yeah, I think today the exact opposite. What creates these RPOs? What are pressures that make you react to that? So defensively, there's different kinds of pressures. You have the zone pressures, which people hear are zone blitzes. You have the, max pressure where you just bring everybody. We used to call it butcher knife bandit. You're going to cut their throat. You're going to bring everything. And then you have just some limited 5, 6, 7-man pressures that attack pass protections. So a zone blitz is a situation where a guy comes and behind it, instead of playing man-to-man, which some teams aren't very capable of, you get pressure on the front by bringing somebody, but you play zone behind it, but you give up an area, to a little bit extent.
So your secondary is playing zone while your defensive line is bringing the pressure.
Either your end or your outside back or your inside backer is coming on some kind of stunt, and you vacate that area. But a lot of times you'll have another person back to that area from a line position, which we confuse the quarterback, and he might throw it in there. But those are called zone blitzes. So a lot of teams do that. So they get some pressure on the quarterback, but they don't get hurt for a deep ball or anything like that because there's zone behind it. And, the Steelers made that fashionable in the 90s. They were one of the first teams to do it, and they did a good job with it. And everybody's got some zone pressures now that they use. Now, 5 and 6-man pressure would be a combination where you would bring like what we call a cross dog, where both backers would cross and go – one would go on the side of the other, and you try to – you do that against man-blocking teams because you hope that those two guards will run into each other. But zone-blocking teams, you might do some different stuff like that. I don't want to get too far advanced, but behind that, you can play man coverage, pure man, or you can play man-free where you'll take that extra defensive back and he'll play a double up on your best receiver. So in case you're throwing – a quarterback's licking his lips, he's got pressure, he knows he's going to go to the Z on the strong side or X on the weak side. So you say on this kind of protection or this kind of blitz, we're going to play man-free, but you're going to double this guy, or you might double the tight end, because a lot of teams like to dump it to the tight end. So you play inside-outside. So the inside guy would be the free safety playing if he crossed, and the strong linebacker would be playing him man if he went in the flat. So you kind of double him like that. So there's different ways to do it. But overall, just the idea that we talked about last week where we were talking about when teams try to do these RPOs, they're looking and reading a guy and then throwing to an area if you don't have the run. Well, what we're going to try to do defensively, I'm talking defensive style now, we're going to try to confuse that guy and make him think that I'm taking away the run, but I'm actually playing the pass, So I might come, but I'm going to have somebody go into that area. So let's just say a team likes to throw an RPO on a slant. Well, you bring the backer for pressure to take away the run, but you drop a guy or you take the corner and play him a different technique to try to take away the slant, because knowing that the RPO is that. So it's a match play type deal.
I want to give a perfect example of that, and I go back, and I don't mean to bang on this kid, but when you watched Fatone Bauta in the Florida game,
yep.
You know, everyone's like, why is he not running? Why is he not doing this? Florida knew he was starting, and their outside linebacker and their defensive end, both these guys, I can't remember who they were, but if you watch them, they confused the hell out of Fatone. They played – you couldn't tell if they were breaking towards the inside, if they were coming right. back, if they were backing off. They played him in a spot where it was damn near impossible for him to read them.
And we didn't make enough first downs to help him either. Well, no. You know, you got three plays and you got to make it work. But that's so a good point.
But he was confused, like you said, the yeah. pressures. Because even where I'm sitting, I'm like, what? And, I, you know, because I'm behind him, you know,
right.
And watching, you know, come down on the field taking pictures. And those defensive ends played that perfectly, and they drove him a little bonkers. And so he was hesitant, and then when he tried to force it, and there'd be an interception.
A lot of us bonkers.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there was a lot of people want to blame the kid. I'm like, no, at that point, you got to give Florida some credit for saying, hey, we got an inexperienced quarterback. They disguised it well, to your point. So
and I think that's the one thing that I would finish up on this today. Is we got Coach Tucker, who is the defensive coordinator, who's running Coach Smart's system. And part of our deal is to play their tendencies, that's for sure. But we do a good job of walking into our blitzes, okay?
Yeah.
We'll come out there, and we'll give you a two shell where there's two deep. And we'll wait right to the last second, and then we'll move either the people that are pressuring, which people see a guy coming off the edge or the backers or whatever. But we don't give it away very quickly. And then we disguise our techniques, which people could watch some of our film today after this, you know, watch a game. Watch the way our defensive backs will walk into their coverage. They'll walk into a lineup jam technique and then at the last second bail out, or they'll line up outside and then the last second they'll jump inside a guy. So that's very disconcerting to a receiver and a quarterback, because you look like you think you got this and then all of a sudden you got that. So I think we're really good at disguising our coverages.
Yeah. Shout out to Aaron Davis, a chameleon. A guy who could absolutely fool the quarterback into what he was going to do. He would sidle up there, and you think he's going to jam this receiver. And then and you remember the offense, you know, they're working the snap count to try to get you to commit one way or the other. And he, instead of, like, jumping on that snap count, he would take the two steps right before the ball went, and Aaron was in the right spot at the right time and made a lot of big plays for Georgia. Dominic Sanders as well.
He did.
A little extra love for Aaron, because he did all of that starting his career off as a walk-on.
And one thing you'll look at, too, is what's some keys on the snap count. A lot of times a center on a gun-type situation, right before he snaps, he'll put his head down. He'll get in a rhythm, and you can really disguise your stuff. So, hey, you can – they're doing all this stuff to make you think they're going on a quick count, but they're really trying to see what you're doing. So exactly. It's back and forth. And
that's why it's the greatest game ever.
I hope I made that clear. But it's just exact opposite of what the offense is doing. But the defense is basically just like you go into a parking lot and you're trying to get the guy to give you a parking place and show him a $50 bill, and then when you get in there, you give him a $5. Show him a $50 and give him a $5.
Do not – Take any offers from the coach seriously.
You got the parking place, man.
All right, with that, well, that's going to be it for our show today. I want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsors, Champions here on Baxter Street, 11 Alive, Athens Ford, of course. Thank you for my new Explorer. Europie, Academia, great beer.
Tell us what we got here today, too.
By the way, we're getting ready to go munch down on the buffalo chicken salad afterward. It's a salad, so it's healthy.
Yeah,
strong.
I'm sure with all that buffalo chicken on top of it, it's really
appreciate healthy. You guys coming out. Appreciate
it. And thanks to the Mike from California and our crew over here that stuck around for an hour and a half. Check in next Tuesday at noon. We will have more for you.
Thanks, guys.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.